still true. And he is still working to do that what he said he would do. Because he said, when we're not faithful, he is. He can't deny himself. And I find here in Romans 8, and we say we're going to teach a little, and we're going to get started right here. That word therefore, it connects, this verse connects to the preceding chapter, particularly of Romans 7, where we found Paul struggling with all kind of things, where he found that he wanted to do good, evil was always present. When Paul found himself wanting to go right, he found himself going left. Well, let me break it down for you a little bit this morning, because, see, sometimes we think, oh, that's just nothing, right? But when Paul didn't want to go to the nightclub, he found himself in the nightclub. When Paul didn't want to have that extra drink, he found himself having a drink. Now, I'm not saying the drink, but I'm giving you an illustration of things that he fought, that people fight against in that day. I'm not telling you that he was going to the nightclub, but what he's saying, that we find ourselves with these temptations coming. And we find, but now the word says that we are free from these things. And that's what Paul was talking about. If I'm free from these things, then why are these things bothering me so much? Why are they causing me to want to do the thing that I don't want to do? Why is this thing saying to me that the word of God tells me that Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything? But yet and still I find this thing luring me back, drawing me back. Now I'm going to say whatever that thing might be. Because see now, whatever it was in Paul's day is for us in this day. See, let's say it's disappointment. Disappointment, we would say, is a feeling. Because something that we were so sure that would happen didn't happen. But if we would be honest, the longer that we concentrate on this thing or think about this disappointment began to have a voice. Disappointment began to tell you that you're just like what you were disappointed about. See, sorrow and pain, if it's long enough, it wants to have a voice. It just don't want to be sorrow and pain. It don't want to be a feeling. It begin to tell you, this is the way you are. You're useless. Look at how you are. You begin to feel that you can do nothing wrong. It robs you of all confidence that you may have. But yet and still, the word of God is true. So Paul said in that 7th chapter, he said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Well, see, is there a thing about it that he knew that sin was in his flesh? He says, with the mind he served God, and with the body of flesh he served sin. But that wasn't Paul. Paul found these two members that was warring in his members. And he wanted to be free from it. But he comes to this 8th chapter, this first verse. He says, therefore. Therefore tells you of all the sum of the things that we just talked about. But he says, therefore, and he goes on and says, between all the desire to do good and the reality of sin, he introduced the resolution to this struggle, emphasizing that the transition from condemnation under the law to freedom in Christ, he says, there is now.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Now I liked it when he said that. There is now.
Yes, sir. Right there.
He comes right to the reality of it. He telling us, therefore now, in the case of present reality, constrains with the past state of condemnation. This reflects the new covenant established through Jesus Christ, Amen. Which brings immediate and ongoing effect for believers.
Amen.
The use of now underscores the immensity of the change brought about by faith in Christ, highlighting the shift from the old covenant to the new. See, we're on a new covenant, Paul says. Look, we're not under the law any longer.
No.
We're not trying to perform to keep something going. But Jesus Christ has done all that he's going to do for us. And all that he's done is enough. Uh-huh. Amen. He says that you're no longer under condemnation. And that's why he stopped and said, therefore, there is no condemnation. There's no guilt of sin. See, you're no longer under that. But every time that you come short of what God would have you to do, there's one that's accusing you of not being who he say you are. You know, and that when he came to Jesus, I think he understood that who he was dealing with when he came to him in the wilderness. But he put a little slide to it. He said, if you. Now, he knew, so he wants to say, if you are. He does the same thing to us. All right. If you're who God say you are, then why are you doing what you're doing right now? Because the same one that tempts you and gets you to do what you know is not right to do, then accuses you of doing it. So he used these things to be able to make us think that we're not able to be who God called us to be. But what I love about Romans 8 chapter, and as I kept continuing to look at it, Christ didn't only save us. And that word save, sometime we get kind of confused about, I would say. A lot of people think saved that I'm saved from hell and I'm going to heaven. It's much more than that. When he tells you about no condemnation here, and what Paul is talking to us about, he's letting you know that, see, when God called you, when he saved you, see, you had nothing to do with it. You didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, yeah, but I did, because I went down and I raised my hand. I shook the preacher's hand. I prayed the prayer, and I said all the right words. I had something to do with it. No, you did not. He brought you to that day. Right. He gave you the faith to be able to do what was going on. Right. See, he removed you from he called you before the foundations of the world. Yeah. He removed you from the equation because he knew you couldn't do it. Right. Then he gave you the Holy Spirit to empower you to be able to live this life. Yeah. So when he tells you there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But see, the thing that he's done, he's keeping us. Amen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, the thing that I kind of see some, I won't say all people, but a lot of people get confused about, because they tie to what is going on in their life to who they are.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
See, we're quick to say, if I have little, I'm broke. I don't have enough.
Yeah, right.
If I got enough, it seems like I live like I don't know who God is.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah,
but see, it's not founded upon how much we have or don't have.
Yeah.
It's not about how we act or don't act.
Yeah, right.
But see, the thing that God did when he gave us grace.
Yeah.
See, grace is one of those things that we kind of slide by, because grace is given, and grace is freely given. And because you are free to do what you want to do.
That's right.
Now you say, no, wait a minute, preacher, you tell me I can just live any kind of way I want and do anything I want to do and do all the things that I shouldn't do? No, I'm not. But I'm letting you know that you are free from what once held you. And what once held you was sin. You were bound and tangled up and tied up. You had no choice. But now you're free.
Yeah.
You're free no matter if see, you say, oh, they're coming to possess the house because something I did.
Yeah.
Or something I didn't do. Uh-huh. Oh, because I got laid off and these kind of things hadn't happened. Yeah. We put all those things in our spiritual life as to say that these are the things that are happening that make me who I am.
Yeah.
But hold on just a moment.
Yeah.
I think God gave us examples throughout the Old Testament, right? I think that's 39 books in the Old Testament, if I'm correct. We got examples from time and time again. And we have a witness called Job.
All right. Amen.
What was Job doing?
Amen. Amen.
God had a testimony of Job.
Yeah.
He said he was perfect and upright and he eschewed evil. But along came the accuser and said to him, the only reason he served you is because you got a hedge about him and you give him all these things.
That's right.
But it wasn't about the thing that Job had.
Amen.
See, it wasn't about him. Because the accuser said, if you allow me to take all these things, if you allow me to touch his body, skin for skin, he'll curse you to your face.
All right.
Well, he did all these things to Job. But yet and still, Job held his integrity. He even had Job's wife to come by and tell Job, say, look, why are you holding on to your integrity? Won't you just go ahead and curse God and die? See, we kind of find it strange sometimes when we got our best friends in our lives and our closest our relatives speaking evil of us and doing things that's not right. And then we turn and wonder what's going on. Well, I want to tell you this morning, there's an indication that you belong to the Lord.
Yeah.
And see, and there's no condemnation to you.
Yeah.
See, those things that are happening, they're not happening to stop you from where you're going to your destination. Mm-hmm. They are the thing that's going to get you to your destination.
Come on, guys.
Oh, you don't hear me?
Come on.
See, somebody would have been shouting if somebody heard me.
Right.
So let me tell you something. See, James said, in all trials to do what? To be joyful, right? He said, "Have now." I'm not quoting word for word for James,
hallelujah,
which I could, but I want you to understand. James said, "In all dire of man, in all kind of temptations, in all trials, to have joy." Well, how can you have joy when they come in and they taking your car away? They were repossessing your home and your wife is walking out on you.
Yes.
Where's the joy in that?
Yeah.
See, what happened is that we believe Jesus saved us, but then we want to live as just mere men and women. We want to live as though we haven't been changed.
Mm-hmm.
And we have. In spite of what had been done, no matter how we do it, God is still faithful to do what he said he was going to do. He's going to bring us to that destination that he said he would. And he did that before the foundations of the world. So you can see when he says here that there's no condemnation in those that walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. See, this is the thing. Being in Christ is life.
Amen.
I think Corinthians 15 tells us that. 1 Corinthians 15, I believe, 22nd verse, kind of tell you all that in Adam died, but all in Christ is made alive.
Right.
See, that's what the enemy wants to tell you whenever a certain circumstance come along, that you're still dead, that you're not where Christ said you are.
All right.
You're still in that same old state, but he didn't save you for you to save yourself.
That's right.
And that's what I've been talking to you about. Because we try to find a certain way that we should do and a certain way we should act. And whenever certain things happen to us, we get down on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to throw in the towel and quit. Somebody got to hold on to our hands and, oh, no, don't do that. Why? if I am who he say I am, if he's done for me what he says he's done, then why am I feeling that way? Why am I acting as though he hasn't saved me? Because he didn't just save me, but he's continuing to save me. See, it is him who is driving me towards being the very image of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's not left me alone.
Yeah.
All these things are happening, are not happening to stop me,
yeah,
but to bring me to a place to where he can deliver me without spot or wrinkle.
Yeah.
And let me give you another witness here, and that would be Joseph. And if you can relate to Joseph, Joseph had a dream, right?
Yeah, he did.
We all know the story. In Joseph's dream, he saw that his brother was bowing down to him. And then in the father's dream, he saw not only his brother, but his father were bowing down to him.
Yes,
and his father said, now hold on a minute now. When you were talking about you and your brothers and them bowing down, that was all right. But you mean I'm going to bow down to you?
All right. Yeah.
But the word of God said that his father Jacob pondered these things and kept them in his heart.
Yeah.
But God didn't tell Joseph. Now look at this. God didn't tell Joseph what was going to happen to Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
But see, God knew that was a prince in Joseph.
All right.
He already knew that Joseph.
Yeah. Hold on now.
He already knew that Joseph was going to be the prime minister. He was going to be second in charge in Egypt. But he didn't tell Joseph he was going into a pit. He didn't tell Joseph that his brothers were going to sell him into Egypt. He didn't tell Joseph that he was going to be accused of rape. He didn't tell him that he was going to be thrown in a dungeon. That he was going to interpret dreams and be forgotten about and left in the dungeon. But we saw Joseph.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, God.
We saw Joseph as the second in command in Egypt.
We did.
In the only place that the Pharaoh was more powerful was when he was sitting on the throne.
Amen.
Why do you divert to this and say all this to me, preacher? Because God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
He's working in your life the same way. He hadn't told. See, the prince that Joseph became was already in Joseph.
Hallelujah.
What God has already called you to is already in you.
Hallelujah.
But he's using those things to come into your life to bring you into that place, to that destination that he's called you to. Now, we don't like them. Like I say, sometimes you have people rebel. They turn away from God. Because they say, before I was serving God, I didn't have this much trouble. All these things wasn't going on in my life.
Yeah. Right.
I was doing just fine. I may have gotten a little drunk every now and then.
Yeah.
I may have done a few things I know that wasn't right, but I was doing okay. And long come Jesus Christ, and now he's in my life, and look like nothing goes right. Well, see, this is the thing. The enemy is not going to disturb that which he already has. He's going to always disturb that he don't have. You're going to always be in a battle. Those things going to always come. He said, that's the reason why Paul writing and said, in all things give thanks. Now, he didn't say give, he didn't tell you to give thanks for those things, but he said in those things give thanks. So when they were repossessing the house, thank you, Jesus. Why did I say thank you? Because something else is coming. See, when the sickness come, thank you, Jesus. Why am I thanking Jesus in the midst of my sickness? Because, see, I know my healing is coming. Well, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have a dime in your pocket, you ain't paid bills in 3 months. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why? Because I understand that there's a brighter day on the other side of what you allowed me to see. See, now I'm not ever, see, if I'm holding on to so tight to what I think is mine and I don't want to let it go. See, I don't see it as being selfish. I just holding on because you know how it is. You know, the Lord blessed me with $10,000, and I go and I give him $2.
Yeah.
Oh, but you say, well, Lord, I put something in.
Yeah.
No, it's not about that. See, he don't want your money. He want you. He want to remove the selfishness that is in you.
Yeah.
See, you don't see the selfishness. What you see, I got up and I worked for it and I did this and I got it. And it's all mine.
Yeah.
But the word of God said it is the Lord that give you strength or power to get wealth.
Yeah.
It is all his. See, if you give what is God's, no matter what is left, God can bless the little that you got.
That's right.
But see, it's what he's moving out of us that is not like him, the reason why these things are coming.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to be too much longer before you, but see, he wants to erase those things.
Yes.
See, you're saying, that's why Paul said to us, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" So what you have to understand, I'm going to digress a minute and draw you a picture. It's like a living man dragging along his corpse.
Yes.
Is what Paul is talking about.
Yeah.
I got the dead thing hooked around me.
Yeah.
And I got to drag it along with me in this new life that's been given to me.
Yeah.
And every time I look back, this thing is trying to get up and tell me something.
Yeah.
But I want to be free from it. Because that's why he said to you that every time that you get ready to do good, evil is always present.
Yes, sir.
See, that thing saying, no, hold on just a moment. You don't like your neighbor anyway. He came over here and cursed you out last week. Now he got nerve enough to ask you for $20 to feed his kids. That thing rings up and says, ha, 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 tell him what you think about it.
Yeah.
Pull out the $20 and show it to him.
Yeah.
Now tell him what you think. Now that's being neighborly. But see, God is trying to remove those things from us. He's allowed those things to come so those things will be moved from us. Because he's already told you all those things that's of the flesh in Galatians. And he said, any of those things does not inherit the kingdom of God. But he said that the fruit of the Spirit is love.
That's right.
It's joy.
That's
right. See, it's peace and long-suffering. Gentleness and goodness. It's faith and meekness and temperance. Against such, there is no law. But see, the thing about it is, we think because these things are happening, they're happening to us. But see, they're happening to this thing you dragging so that he disappear from you.
Yeah.
Because he no longer have any rule and no longer able to speak to you.
Yes.
See, the flesh will get quieter and quieter the more that you're obedient to what God called you to do. You hear less and less. You hear more and more of that still small voice that continue to speak to you. People say, I ain't never heard the Holy Spirit speak.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Something wrong when you're not hearing him speak to you. Because he's constantly speaking. He's constantly trying to tell you which way to go and what to do and how to do it. When you get up in the morning, he's wanting to direct you. When you lay down at night, he wants to direct you. When you're on the job, he wants to direct you. See, it's you say, now, wait a minute, how you know that, preacher? Because, see, the word of God told me, whatever I do in word and deed, do it all as unto who? Unto the Lord. He didn't say do it unto the company that I work for, to my boss, to the person that has authority over me, but he said do it as unto the Lord. So when I get there, I get there on time.
Yes.
When I sit down, I do what I'm supposed to do.
Yes.
I don't just half do it because I'm doing it for who? I'm doing it for the Lord. See, if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to direct my life, he begin to change the way I think. See, the guy that don't like me, don't bother me.
Amen.
It gives me an opportunity to show forth the love of God to it. My enemy, if you have something against me, that's all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep praying for it.
Yeah.
The word of God says this. He said, if your enemy hunger, feed him.
Yeah.
You see that illustration I gave you about how he treated the neighbor.
Yeah.
But the word of God says to me, if your enemy hunger, feed him.
Yeah.
He said, if he thirst, give him drink.
Yeah.
He said, in doing so, you heap coals of fire. But see, that word heap coals of kindness up on his head. Because if he came and he said, I need $20, I'm going to say, okay, here, I got $40 you can have.
Yeah.
Now, he's got the wrestle with, why did he do that? Wait a minute, what did I just do to him last week? I cursed him out and called him everything that I could think of, told him about where he could go and what I would do to him, and yet and still, he did this. See when Paul wrote this, he's telling you about therefore, but therefore go well back. Who knows? The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and he turn it which way soever he pleases. So no matter what authority is coming against you, no matter what's going on, it's in God's hand.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
God calls his people to go back to the land by the hands of a king.
Yeah.
Nehemiah built the walls by hands of the king.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But who was Nehemiah?
Yeah.
Who was God people in the sight of those that they were captives in?
Yeah.
You say, what are you saying to me this morning, preacher? What I'm trying to tell you is this.
Yeah.
See, you're in God's hand.
Amen.
God's already have a plan for your life.
Yeah.
Somebody ought to say it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one. I'm going to tell you, it's a good one.
Yeah.
No matter what plan you can come up with, you can't come up with one better than he has.
Yeah.
But so, we're going to get ready to close here as we get to this last part here.
Yes, sir.
And it says that the righteousness of the law might be filled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. What is the righteousness of the law? What is the fulfilling of the righteousness of the law?
Yeah.
It is said that it is summed up in one word. Love.
Amen. 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 Amen.
You say this is what he's doing. This is what he's bringing you to.
Yeah.
So the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That we might understand that God is still moving.
Yeah.
He's just not one that's able to save.
Yeah.
But he's able to move you to the place that he called you to.
Yeah.
To keep you and to direct you in the way that he wants you to go.
Yeah.
Oh, you say, you mean God was in that when this happened to me? And when that was done to me? Oh, yes, he was. He was right there. You mean when I was on my sick bed and I was almost gone and then God was in the midst of all? God was right there. You mean when I totaled my car and God was right there. But I had to go through so much. I had no way of doing this and I was inconvenienced to that and all these kind of things happened. God was right there in the midst of all was going on.
Yes, sir.
He's right there.
Because
what Joseph said to his brothers, and I'm going to take my seat. He said, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good.
Amen.
To save a life, many.
Amen.
Amen. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."